The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Let's bring in producer Darris Dameron, who I believe has a couple mailbag questions for us before we get out of here.
I absolutely do. You guys actually mentioned Nassim Nunez earlier, and Eddie Reed on Twitter wants to know a little bit more about Nassim Nunez. He said, what is Nassim Nunez's ceiling? It can't be too high. Wouldn't it be more advantageous for us to carry Alex Call or a third catcher or any other player in the system or off of waivers?
So with Nassim Nunez, it's a shame that Nats fans don't get a chance to see this. You know, people show up early. They want to see batting practice. If you got to see the Nats and you want to see a show, watch Nassim Nunez do fielding practice. This dude with his glove and his arm is a wizard. So he is super fun to watch defensively. He can play all over the infield as a defender, and I think he can do really well at any of those positions. The issue is he just doesn't hit. So the ceiling is probably just a defensive replacement and a guy that can be a burner that maybe can bat ninth in your lineup. I don't even know. Maybe he's just an organizational depth guy, but he's fantastic with the glove. So I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen him a little bit more just as a defensive replacement. But yeah, I mean, tons of speed, really good defensively. He's not much of a hitter. Matter of fact, he doesn't have a hit on the season for the Nationals. So that's something that he'll have to log at some point, his first career hit at some point. But you know, when you look at him, he's a great defensive player, great runner. He just struggles with the bat.
He's also only got 8 at-bats, in fairness, right? I mean, the guy never plays. So to answer his question directly, no, they would not be better off, in my opinion, with a third catcher. And they would not be better off. He gave a name. Who was the name? Oh, Alex Call. No, definitely not. I mean, so Nassim Nunez, by keeping him up and keeping him on the big league roster, they're just adding him to the organization for depth moving forward. Most people know the rules, but just in case anybody doesn't, with Rule 5, they drafted him in the Rule 5 draft. So the way it works roughly is if you've been on a professional in an organization and had enough service time in the minor leagues after X number of years, 6, 7 years, whatever it is, then you become eligible for the Rule 5 draft if you're not protected by your team. The way they protect you is put you on the 40-man roster. So the Marlins, in this case, said, we're not going to put him on the 40-man roster. And then other teams had the chance to claim him. But when you claim him, you have to keep him on your 40-man roster. You don't have a choice. And actually, more accurately, you have to keep him on your big league roster, your 26-man roster, or else you risk the Marlins taking him back. Now, is it that big of a deal if that happens? To your point, whoever asked this, no, it's not, because he's not an everyday player probably in their future. But he is a 70 runner who could potentially be a 70 defender, in my opinion. He could really help. I do think they should have him running more late in games. I do think they should, to Toby's point, have him playing defense more. Like, it is very peculiar to me that he has only got 8 at-bats. But I understand they don't think he can hit whatever. That he's only appeared in 16 games is pretty staggering. So it is weird, but they've expanded rosters by a spot. Forever, teams got by with 25. Obviously, the Nats think they have no problem getting by with 25. And I think they like the idea ultimately of him being just a plus defender, a plus speed guy. They're a team built around speed and steals. He might be the fastest guy on the team. I don't think anybody's throwing this dude out late in the game if he's pinch running. So for all those reasons, I think they like having him around. And it makes sense to me. If you were winning, maybe you wouldn't have him on your roster. But in a year in which you're rebuilding, just to add a guy to your org that's got some two like elite big league traits that you can have for several years of control beyond this year, I think it's worthwhile.
And I also wonder if maybe the defensive renaissance of Luis Garcia kind of threw a wrench in maybe their potential plan for Nassim Nunez, for him to be that guy that comes in and replaces Garcia late in games. But Garcia has been so good defensively, there's been no reason to replace him late in games.
It's a good point. I mean, and he's also, I would say, he's been better offensively probably than we thought too. Like there was a path maybe to him getting on the field where if Luis Garcia was stinking up the joint, they could either move on from him or he could be going to the bench or whatever. But Abrams has elevated his game defensively. So has Garcia. Yeah, that's a pretty solid point, I would say.
Well, and I think he's a really good clubhouse guy, too. Like, I know he's not playing a lot. We talk about this a lot with Ildemar Vargas, but he's very upbeat. He's having a lot of fun with the guys. So I think he's just also a good clubhouse presence. Obviously, you have to contribute something on the field, which he hasn't done a whole lot of this year. But even with all the lack of playing time, he's still got an upbeat attitude. He's working hard. So when he gets a full chance, because he hasn't even played a full game, when he gets a full chance, I think he'll take advantage of it.
We'll do one more here. Still Six Rings on Twitter says the trade deadline is 6 weeks away. The club is a game and a half behind in the wild card. What are you doing if you are Grant or Toby Rizzo? Are you staying the course? Are you calling guys up? Are you trading a piece like Winker or Thomas, getting a couple vet pieces and trying to sneak into the wild card? What are you guys doing as the general manager of the Washington Nationals at the trade deadline?
Yeah, sometimes there's really, really tough debates as a GM. This is not one of them. This is so easy for me. You stay the course. I'm selling. You know, if I can move Winker and get something, yes. If I can move, you know, the usual suspects here, Rosario. The tough ones are I better get something sweet if I'm moving Finnegan or Harvey. Like those guys I think are more, because you control them beyond this year, they're more core players that you've really sunk time and energy into. I'd say that's more difficult. But I go back to the Orioles 2 years ago. They were a lot better than the Nationals are now, and they were more assuredly knocking on the door as a team that had all the prospects close. And Mike Elias took a lot of crap, but he traded Trey Mancini to the Astros for Chase McDermott, who's one of the better pitchers in AAA right now, could come up at any moment. He traded, unpopularly, Jorge Lopez to the Twins and got Cade Povich, who just shoved for them this week, six scoreless. And their fans were livid, and they're like, you got to be kidding me. We're only a couple games out. And that Orioles team, in my opinion, was better than this Nats team, and he did the right thing. And Mike Rizzo's no dummy. He would do the right thing, too.
Yeah, I would sell. Anybody that's on an expiring contract or just a year or two of control, they're available. Now, I'm going to have to get something good for a guy like Alain Thomas. I personally wouldn't trade him, but a Nick Senzel is available, even though he's got another year of control. We already talked about Harvey and Finnegan, Rosario, Winker, Floro. You call and want to talk, with the exception of guys like CJ Abrams, we're open for business. I don't want to look at the record and get ahead of ourselves. Like Grant said, you have to be honest with yourself. It's not about getting into the playoffs. I hate this idea for some organizations that just, you know, give us another shot. Like, no, it's not about getting into the playoffs and just being there and just having fun and feeling like you got into the dance. It's about having a chance to win. And frankly, this team doesn't have a chance against a team like the Dodgers or someone like that right now. But you make the right moves, in a few years you could. So don't fool yourself and try to be, you know, conservative buyers or something like that. No, you stay the course and sell like you would have all along.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.
One quick one here. Pete on Sports says, why are the Nationals 3-0 when Pete on Sports fills in on play-by-play? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen.
That's our guy, Pete Metters.
Our friend, Pete that? Metters.
Pete's batting 1,000 this year. How about him?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not going to kick Dave out of his chair. Okay. I love you, Pete, but I'm not going to kick Dave out of his chair. But maybe a 3-man booth or something of that sort. If we need to get Pete in there for some winning, for some winning vibes, I might be down for that.
Maybe when we need to get a losing streak broken up, we get to have Pete do the fifth inning scoreboard. Give Charlie a breather.
Pete is the stopper. That's what he is. Pete's the stopper. Like if they're in the funk, Pete Medhurst is your guy.
There it is.
Very good. Well, producer Darius, we appreciate you. Just taking a quick peek at the comments. Looks like Hokies fams has great discussion and deep dives. The show is fun, interesting, and thorough. Crazy Talk says, love the show. These guys know their stuff. Been a big supporter since of Grant since day one. Grant knows his baseball. Toby's awesome. These guys are proficient in their knowledge of baseball. So if you're a fan of baseball, this is your podcast. We appreciate him, Crazy Talk. Shout out to all of you for listening. Go leave a comment, rate, review, and we'll read your comments. We are not above that. Toby, final thoughts as we get ready for a homestand against the Marlins. I believe the Rizzo bobblehead on Friday night, and then the K-Bear plushy, squeezy bear doll thing for kids on Saturday.
Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the best pitcher in the organization so far, Brad Lord. This dude has been fantastic, and the emergence of him has just been absolutely incredible. He goes from last year pitching to a 4.04 ERA across A ball and high A. He starts the year this year in high A, makes one start, gets bumped up a double A, and has an ERA of 1.46 overall. Like, this dude has been fantastic. The other night, he went, 7 scoreless, 2-hit ball. I mean, he has been unbelievable, and it's another check for the Nats and pitcher development. We got Jake Irvin. You've got Mitchell Parker. You've got Brad Lord. We already talked about Sikora. Like, we were wondering what the heck they were going to do about starting pitching. Yeah, we were wondering what they were going to do with starting pitching, and now it looks like the starting pitching might just come from within.
Yeah, totally. Andre Lara's got a 2.3 ERA through 11 starts, 68 K, 61 innings, and a 1.05, and Lord's been better. 24 years old, by the way, in Double A. So, I mean, he's a guy I could see him getting bumped to Triple A here shortly and maybe getting a chance the next time they need a starter in the major leagues. Now, for him, it might be a little while, other than a spot start if there's a rain out and a doubleheader or something, because you got Josiah Gray coming back. Cade Cavalli's getting sent out on a rehab assignment, it sounds like, after he threw a bullpen yesterday. But yeah, 12 starts, almost 70 innings. More strikeouts, 71, than innings pitched, 67, and a 1.4 ERA with a 7-1 record and a 1.08 whip. And 7 innings, 2 hits, 10 Ks in his last start. I believe we'll have Brad Lord on the show, by the way, on Monday after the Marlins series. We're going to catch up with him this weekend. So ideally, next time you listen to Bustin' Loose Baseball, you will hear for the first time from a sneaky prospect. He's not even in the top 30 via pipeline. Mm-mm. Those guys need to update.
Well, and you know he's good, Grant, because we've learned that I'm not a pitcher guy. So for me to take notice of what you're doing now, if you're a pitcher in the organization, you've got to be doing something special.
That's right. Toby's on it, means the guy has been shoving for sure. All right, we will be back after the Marlins series. Thanks for checking us out on Bustin' Loose Baseball.